Last week, we played you part one of an extended interview I did with the National Director of Catholic Earth Care Australia, Jackie Raimond, and Philippa Rowland, a regional leader in South Australia and the Northern Territory for the National Energy Efficiency Network, a program run by Catholic Earth Care. This week, we're going to play you part two, and I began by asking Jackie to tell us about the Global Catholic Climate Movement, which she is a part of.
The Global Catholic Climate Movement was set up in January this year, so it's very new, and it was launched when the Pope visited the Tacloban, where Typhoon Haiyan took place and killed many, many thousands of people. And we presented him with a statement about climate change, which he received very positively. And then we started to grow this network from a small group of us who were having Skype calls every week across the globe to have now over 100 Catholic organisation and thousands of members join. And it's accessible through Facebook, of course, and a website, which is the Global Catholic Climate Movement website. We then had a big focus in Lent on cutting carbon emissions. So we had a carbon fast in Lent, and over 50 countries participated in that. The month of April was a prayer month for creation nominated by Pope Francis. So we put a whole lot of resources to enable prayer and activity that is in response to creation to be on our website. And in May, we had a strategic meeting in Rome where we were sponsored by a group who could see the benefit of us getting together ahead of the encyclical's release to plan how we would respond to this encyclical and to spread the message far and wide through lots of different channels, social media and videos and all sorts. So we got together, and as part of that meeting, a group of six of us were invited to meet with Pope Francis at his usual Wednesday address in St. Peter's Square. And we took a copy of our recently drafted climate petition and we asked him to sign it. And he couldn't sign it because he can't autograph things in a public sense. So what he did is he accepted the petition. He made a joke and said that we were trying to beat him to his encyclical, which I thought was rather great. And then he had it signed by his secretary on his behalf and endorsed it. So we're now seeking 1 million signatures in the lead up to the COP21 meeting in Paris in December, so that the Catholic voice is part of that negotiation, along with all the multi-faith voices that are signing the Our Voices petition and the Climate Reality Projects petition and all the others which will be presented together at the COP21 meeting.
And does your organisation, talking more specifically about Catholic Earth Care Australia, does it have any role in lobbying federal politicians, for instance, about matters to do with the climate?
We do meet with our federal and state-based leaders. In fact, we work with all people of goodwill. So it's really important that we communicate what the bishop's position is and what their voice is saying around important matters like the environment. And climate change is particularly important because it impacts all the other aspects of our ecosystems in a negative way. So we are hoping that our leaders have heard and received the encyclical and are reading it and will be responding. We've heard from a few politicians already in terms of their response, but we are not aware whether Mr. Abbott has read it as yet and what his response is. But we certainly hope as a Catholic that he takes the time to read it, to deeply reflect and respond appropriately, because we urgently need real leadership on the issue of climate change, and we need strong targets and we need to take strong action. And we need to do this not just for humans that are suffering and will continue to in vulnerable locations and situations around the planet, but we need to do it for future generations and of all the species on the planet.
One of the things that Catholic Earth Care is doing in Australia is it has a National Energy Efficiency Network, and sitting beside you is Philippa Rowland from that network. Philippa, if I could ask you to tell our listeners about some of the work that you do.
Thanks, Ian. Well, in a quiet day when Jackie had nothing else on her plate, she managed to actually land a fairly substantial federal government grant. The previous federal government had a bucket called the Energy Efficiency Information Grants, EEIG grants, and a grant was given to Catholic Earth Care Australia to set up a national energy efficiency network. And it was given a couple of parameters it had to work within. And one, it was to be working with small and medium enterprises that had a turnover of less than $10 million a year and less than 200 staff. So it was fitted into that small, medium enterprise, not-for-profit area. But beyond that, as Jackie mentioned earlier, it was set up to work with all people of goodwill. So one of the first things they did before I came on board was to set up quite a diverse array of case studies, and they included Broome Cathedral in WA, St John of God Retreat Centre in Perth. The two in Adelaide that we've been dealing with have been Autism SA, which is an office building, and at Davern Park there's an Aboriginal elder village, which has been repurposed from an old building and has considerable headaches in terms of deploying energy efficiency, but they've made some great headway. And a remote community of Kintore up in the Northern Territory. So with these case studies, if I went right through them, were 10 or more, included an arts centre in Footscray in Melbourne, community centre up in Brisbane. So you can see that they were working not only with faith, but also with community buildings across aged care and childcare and community centres. So there's quite a diverse array of experience on the ground that we then drew on and a series of fact sheets to try and enable communities to actually make a start in managing their energy futures.
Either or both of you can answer this question. Do you think that since the creation of Catholic Earth Care and things like the National Energy Efficiency Network, that more people more broadly in the Catholic movement are talking about the environment and things that they can do to change the situation?
Absolutely. I'll jump in here and say yes. I think without our agency being around, I think it would be very patchy and based on what local initiatives are happening and how people feel about it and whether it would receive a voice at a religious institutional level in their local context would be very various. Whereas having a national agency, albeit under-resourced, has enabled a whole network and a whole movement of people to progress forward with this activity of caring for the planet. And it's through our networks. We have over 1,600 Catholic schools in Australia. We've got over 1,400 parishes in the Catholic network, and obviously working across faiths means that there are thousands of places of worship have reached into the community. There are many, many large and small hospitals and aged care facilities, as Philippa mentioned, the NEEN network has particularly been working with, and social services is a very large part of our faith community as well, responding to welfare issues and poor and so forth. So we have the capacity in our population, and globally there's 1.3 billion Catholics globally to really impact and affect change. And in Australia, we're seen as being ahead of that curve because we've had this agency for the last 13 years with some clear positions and some key initiatives we've been running that are being followed by people around our country. And they're seen as ways that globally those initiatives and positions can be taken up. So at the moment, through the Global Catholic Climate Movement, some of the initiatives that have been born in Australia are being taken up, like the Season of Creation initiative that was started by a Lutheran here in Adelaide, Norman Habel, with a few colleagues about, I think it must be at least 13 years ago, if not more, who started up this whole notion of being able to celebrate what it means to care for creation in a liturgical sense and bring it into the presence of the way in which we celebrate our faith. And so that's being taken up globally at the moment, which is very exciting, as is the NEEN network. So the concept of having free and accessible fact sheets, case studies, calculator tools, information that empowers people to take steps to reduce their energy bill is something that's being taken up globally through our starting of the NEEN network. So it's interesting what we've started, but then when we look across the globe and see what has been started in other parts of our church and faith communities, there is so many resources and initiatives that have been successful in one part or place around the globe that can be spread through this networking. And I think that's the power of us collaborating and being in dialogue and taking steps that are full of hope to bring about change.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, I've been working as a volunteer in the community climate space for over a decade. And one thing that's become really quite clear to me is that people need to find a connection with what they can do in their own lives. So unless they can feel connected to the solution, being part of a bigger solution, then it can be very disempowering just to be hearing the bad news. So I think my take-home message when I sat down and read the encyclical was, one, I completely agree that all parts of life are interconnected. We don't live in isolation. We live in connection with a whole complex ecology, and we do damage without even knowing what we're doing to some of those other parts of it that keep us going. So there's quite a profound responsibility that humans carry for what we've done. But then within that, there's that germ of hope that if we cause the problem, we can be part of the solution. And therefore, I think when you can combine the big picture view of facing the reality of where we are today in 1st of July 2015, face it squarely, and then find the small steps that can lead you towards creating a better future, and you give other people the means to take small steps. Energy poverty is alive and well in our community, even if we don't face it squarely. But therefore, energy efficiency can be one small step towards those changes to being more sustainable, living more lightly on the earth, and caring for each other as well as caring for the planet. So I think the way forward is made of small steps, but it comes down to individual consciences of recognising we all have a part to play.
That was Philippa Rowland, the regional leader for the National Energy Efficiency Network, which is run by Catholic Earth Care, and Jackie Ramond, National Director for Catholic Earth Care Australia. That was part two of our extended interview, and you can catch up on part two and parts one by visiting the Barometer page at radio.adelaide.edu.au.